But everybody, we're with Pearl Nelson, one third of Champagne Champagne.
Champagne.
He also does his own stuff, which we're going to play a little bit later. One more time, tell everybody what you're doing in Malibu.
Well, I'm actually in L.A. now. I just got out. I was getting sober. I actually went to rehab for like 2.5 months. Just being completely honest, you know, it's important to be honest, I guess, at this point in my life. Decided I needed to get my act together. You know, I had a lot of fun, traveled a lot, had a lot of great experiences that I don't remember. So, I mean, had a lot of experiences I really don't remember. So I just kind of pushed the pause button on life for a minute.
I mean, Champagne Champagne was all over. You guys were doing European tours. I mean, was there some serious...
Yeah, we put out two records overseas that the U.S. has not received yet. It's a bummer.
Really?
You know, people can definitely get it on iTunes. It's out on iTunes and Amazon and whatnot. So they can still get it if they want to hear the new records. They're out there in the world. Just, you can get the physical copies overseas. And if you really want them, I'm sure they'll ship them to you.
So why is that? European, is there a European label that's real hip on it?
We had a European label called Platinum Records in Bordeaux, France, and it afforded us the opportunity to play, you know, Germany, Switzerland, Belgium, France quite a bit, and in this last 2012. So it was a good time, you know.
Champagne Champagne is a three-piece.
Yes,
are they your main project then, Pearl?
Oh, yeah, it is. Okay. I'm just taking a break right now to focus on my sobriety. You know, it's Champagne Champagne is ever living and ever going. You know, it's something that can't be stopped. It's a force that's untamable.
I like that.
I just had to tame myself. I couldn't help anybody if I wasn't able, you know, to help myself at that point. So.
You guys are a three-piece, and how does it work? For the people out there who would like to know exactly who does what, I know there's Mark Gandahar, who's in the Blood Brothers, amazing drummer. What does he do in the band? What do you do?
Mark produces the records. He makes all the beats, records all the music, you know, kind of makes the landscape, musical landscape.
Got it.
That we, you know, build the canvas, and then we start to paint upon it, you know, me and Thomas.
Okay.
Wow, I just saw a red-tailed hawk. It's awesome. There's two of them flying right now. It's pretty dope.
Yeah, and the other
gentleman...
The Native
American culture, that's like a messenger, so it's dope right now. It's cool.
and you're kind of the main vocalist, MC, whatever you want to call it. Like, are you the main guy that kind of comes up with a lot of the rhymes and stuff?
Yeah, we come up with stuff. You know, we come up with ideas. Thomas is a wordsmith in his own right, and comes up with some amazing ideas. So
I just listened to the Four Horsemen.
We just kind of come up with ideas. Yeah, I came up with the idea for Four Horsemen. It was more of an idea about the end of the world. You know, 2012 was coming up, and I just figured I wanted to do an anthem, like an anthem about the end of the world, possibly. You know, behold, Four Horsemen in the sky. They rain down with vengeance and with fire.
I love that song.
They came
man.
With pestilence and genocide running high, you know. So,
have you ever heard Metallica's song, Four Horsemen?
Yeah, I have.
It's a nice cut.
You know, I'm punk for life, but, you know, I also have some metal in my heart, too.
I played some Metallica at the beginning of the show.
Not a pacemaker, it's just that metal. So.
Yeah, if the rhythm of us talking is a little off, man, there's a little bit of an echo, so I apologize beforehand.
No worries, my friend.
So tell me a little bit about the origins of Champagne Champagne, how you got into music, and what your solo music is like.
Like I said, I'm actually taking a break right now, so, you know, there's not much productivity right now.
Sure.
Because I just need to focus on sobriety, I guess. But our band started about 6.5 years ago. Wow. And I met Mark at an Erasure show. You know the band Erasure?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so I met band with our boy, my homeboy Terry, who I used to say was my cousin, and he invited Mark to the show because they played with the Blood Brothers, this band called Christensen, and another band called Recover, which became a band called Young Love. And, you know, they... Terry just invited me to the show. I used to kick with Terry a bunch. And and Mark had a CD of some music, and I just moved back from Cali about seven years ago we met, and moved back from Cali, and yeah, man, and he had some music that was just mind-blowing, and the first song we recorded was Soda and Pop Rocks. That was the first beat I kind of heard, and I went to the studio, and I basically freestyled that whole verse over that beat, because it was so phenomenal. I mean, it was pre-dubstep, even though Mark hates dubstep, you know. It's not, I don't think it's dubstep either, but it just had this sound that I never heard before, you know?
Wow.
Yeah. So it was really new. It was really exciting to hear something so progressive, you know, and I mean, he just comes from a great lineage of music.
And that's Mark Gadjadhar, or?
Gadjadhar.
Gadjadhar, sorry.
Yes.
My bad, dude.
That's not good.
Yeah, I've met him when he used to work over at Sonic Boom.
That's when we started like working on music. Me and Thomas were working at the African American Museum in Seattle.
Oh, really? And, is that right there between the Central District and Columbia City?
Yep, in the CD, right there.
Yeah, right.
And
right.
He was the manager, and he ran his cafe, and he made me assistant manager, and that was a fun time. All we did was write and take whippets at the time.
You know, I used to see the Blood Brothers, and he blew me away. I remember watching him.
I mean, he's one of the best indie drummers in the world, hands down.
Oh, he's great. I would watch him, and his hands, he looked like he had eight arms. He was moving so fast.
Yeah, I know. He's like the real life animal.
It's
amazing. Yeah.
And now he's suave as hell doing another thing.
Yeah, he's versatile. So is Thomas, you know, we're all kind of versatile creatures.
Tell me a little bit about Thomas.
Thomas was, he was a barber at Sal's. It was this barbershop that's currently still in Seattle, but it used to be on another street in Capitol Hill, by the Crescent, right across the street from the Crescent. And he's a barber, and I met him downtown. He was a friend of my family, you know, Trey and some other family members, Book, and I knew of him really well. And then we both went to black colleges, so we kind of had related on that. He went to Howard. I went to Morris Brown in Atlanta, Georgia. He went to Howard.
So Howard and Morris Brown, you said?
I went to Morris Brown in Atlanta, Georgia. And then he went to Howard in D.C. And we kind of related on that, you know, like, you know, kids from HBCs.
You said black colleges, meaning?
Historical black colleges, yeah.
Okay.
They're usually in the South.
Are there white people that go there?
Oh, yeah. They usually get scholarships. It's like the reverse.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, so you grew up in Cali and then went to school in...
No, I grew up in Seattle.
Oh, okay.
I grew up in Seattle, but I lived in Houston for a while for some of my youth. You know, that's where I got kind of like I got some tapes from, I got The Roots first record, and I got Outkast first record. And for me, music started really from, you know, going to Rainier Beach High School in Seattle, Washington, doing RBTV and rapping on that just to rap, you know. And then going to college in Atlanta, I became the freshman class president out there, and had an amazing opportunity to know the choir director. And Morris Brown School Choir sang on Bombs Over Baghdad, Power, Music, Electric Revival. So I was in the studio. I was invited in the studio to see this performance happen and this music created, and I just got the spark that just wouldn't go away, you know.
Gotta love that.
It kind of grabbed a hold of me, and it never left, you know. So even though I'm chilling right now, that music in my heart will never leave, you know.
I know exactly.
It can't.
I know you can hear me right now, right, Pearl?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you perfectly.
Perfect. Cool. I just, by the way, the echo is gone now. I did something here and it fixed it. I'd never done before, but awesome. I can hear you much better now.
It sounds like Hollow Earth. It's crazy. Anyway.
right, Hollow Earth.
That's
right.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? Oh, I know what you mean with having the music in your heart. It drives you, and when you create that, or when you hear music, this feeling comes up inside you, and it's addictive, and it's the most amazing thing. I know exactly what you mean.
I think it's the best addiction to have, you know.
Yes.
For me, it caused me to have, you know, but you know, I've always had an addictive personality, whether it's to music or drinking or whatever. You know, I've kind of delved into whatever I was doing. You know, I built up personas of myself, and I built up a lot of, you know, courage behind that kind of stuff. You know, confidence. false confidence, you know, to be able to do what I was, I thought I needed to do that. You know what I'm saying?
So what you're saying is you would get intoxicated to perform occasionally?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't know if you've seen the Nirvana 20th year anniversary, but I was faded.
The
Nirvana 20th year anniversary.
Oh.
We got the great opportunity to play that. And
oh, no shit.
It was an amazing show. Not for us. That was probably our worst performance ever. But ever. I mean, please don't watch that. I mean, you can watch it if you want. I'm sure you are now.
I'm about to watch it, man, right after the show.
Ah, it's so good how bad it is.
So wait, that was at the EMP, is that right?
That was at the EMP. I proceeded to live out my Kurt Cobain fantasy for a night and rip a mirror off the wall, kick it with Chris Novoselic, and, you know.
Chris has got to be a cool motherfucker. Is he cool?
Yeah, oh, my God. You know what happened?
What?
First time I met Chris was at the Crocodile. I think he was playing with Pusa, President of the United States,
yeah.
at Croc. And Carrie Harrop introduced me to him. And I went to the bathroom, and I just giggled like a little kid, like laughing hysterically.
Yeah.
And I opened up the bathroom just because, you know, I opened up the bathroom. And he's outside of the bathroom, and I'm like, oh, my God. He heard me laughing and screaming at the top of my lungs like a kid. You know, but then
But you weren't screaming anything about Nirvana or Chris Novoselic, so he probably didn't know it was about him?
Yeah, he thought I was probably freaking out. I mean, you know, who knows what I was doing in there by myself.
Right.
I wasn't using the restroom, say that much.
You know, I met Chris. Actually, I've seen Chris Novoselic. I've introduced myself, and I was at a Shonen Knife show once at the Rock Candy many years ago.
I remember the Rock Candy.
Yeah, yeah. And I remember thinking, oh man, you know, Nirvana was really into this band, and like it'd be crazy to see Chris Novoselic here. No sooner did I think that than I turned around and he's standing there, and my heart just dropped. And
yeah,
I went up and introduced him. I'm like, I'm Jesse, and he's like, I'm Chris. I'm like, yeah, I know. You know, Nirvana changed my life, and he was very nice about it. But yeah, he seemed like a really cool guy.
Super nice. I mean, he introduced me to his girlfriend's liked Champagne's music, oddly enough, and I proceeded to buy a little bottle of champagne that they had at the Crocodile at the time, and I bought her one. And then Chris was like, "What do you drink, man?" And I was like, "What do you drink?" He was like, "I don't know what the drink's called, Hazel Baden or Basil Hayden."
Right,
he bought me one. I was like, I want whatever you have, and had one of those with them. And it's just—I don't know. I'm like, I'm a Seattle music fan, period. And I just feel lucky to be just even mentioned or included in any type of musical lineage connected with the town, Seattle.
Sure, so, sure.
You know, just any acknowledgement from a Seattle great like that is, you know, it's just amazing. What can I say?
Yeah, you know, it's funny how many fanboys there are that actually make music. Like, you think, I don't know, you think
it kind of has to be, right?
I don't know. You have to be obsessed with it.
Has to be.
Yeah, from a very young age, and that you like idolize these people, absolutely.
Yeah, and then you know, it's like, and in time, you know, you get to meet these people. You know, you get to interact with them through music, and that's what music kind of affords you. You know, to your the opportunity to meet your idols. To meet your heroes, you know. I've got to play with De La Soul. I got to play with Wu-Tang Clan.
How did you pull that off?
Which one?
I just one by one. First De La Soul, then Wu-Tang.
Well, we played with them overseas in France, and you know, they just booked our booking agent booked that show, and we got to open for De La Soul, and it was just amazing.
Oh, you know? So you guys just happened to be in the same area of the world at the same time, and it worked out.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And we got to open for him. And then in Seattle, you know, and it's, and I got to meet Kim from Sonic Youth. She was playing, like, on another, it was a huge building. She was playing right next to us, and I got to watch her a bunch and go back and forth to see De La and see Kim. And I was just, you know, I mean, like, crazy what music can afford you, you know? Like, you know, sometimes you can make money at this, sometimes you really don't. But
there are other things
the opportunities to meet your heroes and your idols is really payment enough for me.
You know, a couple weeks ago.
I want to get.
I'll tell them about the Wu-Tang. How'd the Wu-Tang thing roll out?
They just booked us at the Showbox. You know, I was an old employee of the famous historical Showbox Market in Soto.
Best venue in town, I think.
Yeah, the best venue, you know, to me personally. Yeah. It's my family there, so it's still my family. And I love the Showbox Market. What's up, everybody from the Showbox?
Yeah.
You're the best venue in town, clearly known. Period.
Absolutely.
Yeah, hands down.
Yeah, it's great.
I tried to go see Prince last week, but anyway.
You couldn't get into Prince?
They let me in, but he was off stage. So I had to drive from Oregon, Eugene, Oregon.
You got there late?
But I had to go to my uncle's funeral. So my great uncle's funeral. So you know.
Okay,
I was
well that's
back.
That's understandable.
Yeah. So
I'm sorry about your uncle, Pearl.
Oh, you know, we learn, we live and we learn, man. It's like, we all have addictions, we all have problems, and I'm just glad he decided to get clean before he passed, and that's what happened, you know.
Now, was that inspiring to you?
You know, a lot of stuff has been inspiring me to want to be sober right now in my life, you know. You lose friends, you know, and I won't go too deeply into that, and you lose people, and people you love and you care about, and you kind of go into this world with the world of whether it's music or drinking or drugs or whatever, you know, and you start to lose people and you know, it starts to change your mind about, you know, who you want to be and how you want to be and if you want to live or not.
Now, when you say lose people, do you mean like literally have friends or family die, or do you mean like you know, one is such an ass when he's intoxicated that people quit talking to him, or both?
Both.
Yeah.
Both. I've been. Both have happened to me. So, in time, I think if you're a good person and you know people see you really want to change, I think people start coming around again. Is my hopes, you know.
Very, very wise words, man. I am, I'm not a straight edge.
You know, you're straight edge yourself.
No, I'm not, but I'm close to it. I don't drink a lot. I don't do drugs, really. And I try not to judge people for it, but I don't judge either.
Because yeah. I've done it all. How can I judge, you know?
Right, exactly. There's a lot of people in my life. That do. I just try to do my thing and lead by example. It's like, personally, I think that being mostly sober is the best way, but if you want to like see what I'm doing, that's cool. But if not, do your thing, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I cannot judge. I mean, like, judge, let's not be judged. You know what I mean? It's like, even like, not to be all biblical and stuff and shit like that, but like in the Last Supper, Jesus was like, what did he say? He said, "I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until I'm at the right hand of God." And that's basically, you know, Jesus drank. You know,
he was an alcoholic. Oh, that's what he was talking about.
Yeah, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine. And tell him at the right hand of God, you know.
Well, wow.
So, you know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's my interpretation. Who knows? You know, it's like I'm not. You know, I'm not Yoda.
I went to 12 years of Catholic school and never picked up that quote.
Yeah, I think it's Matthew 26 or something, 23. I can't remember. But it's in Matthew.
Well, Jesus. I mean, at least Matthew. I mean, regardless of the chapter, man, that's awesome. You can recite that.
Yeah, it's the one that I've been holding on to, I guess, you know, because he came for the sinners, not the saints. I mean, how can you preach to the, you know, I'm getting a little bit deep here, but
go ahead, no, go for it. People love this shit.
No, how can you preach to the choir? You know, I can't preach to the choir. You know, I can't preach to the people that are already saved or helped. You know, or that aren't alcoholics, that are drug addicts. You know, I have to go where they're at. You know, I have to still go to the club and see shows and interact. And still be myself and not be fake and not change, you know. Yeah, I hate people that do that. You know, I don't drink anymore, dude. I can't kick it. You know, that's, you know, you can still hang out. You know, you just have to make different decisions. And sometimes I can't hang out. You know, sometimes I can't because I'm not the strongest person in my sobriety. I'm an alcoholic.
I can generally hang out until somebody's reached that limit of really obnoxiousness, and then I have to kind of excuse myself.
Oh yeah. See, I was that guy.
You were like, that guy.
I have to excuse myself. I got to get out of here. Pearl's tripping.
Oh, right. Got it.
Yep.
And so congratulations on your sobriety and all that stuff. You are down in L.A. now.
I'm in L.A. now.
You said you're working a job. What are you doing down there, man?
I got a gig working at a, you know, they opened a Cafe Vita up here.
Oh, really? Right now? Right, what, like in Hollywood?
It's
Silver Lake?
Silver Lake, yeah. So
I love that area.
I actually start today. So, yeah, I love Silver Lake. So I used to live here, like, right on Sunset in Alexandria a bunch of years ago. Well, I used to stay here on a homie's couch a bunch of years ago, like 8, 9 years ago. But I went on tour with Spank Rock. I went on tour with Spank Rock. My first tour, me and Thomas.
And okay, I'm sorry. I misheard you earlier. I couldn't quite make it out. Wait, Spank Rock was that was your first band with this with Thomas?
No, yeah, that was our first tour with Thomas.
Oh, okay, okay.
He took us on tour. Spank Rock took us on tour.
Took Champagne and, Champagne on tour.
No, Pearl.
Oh, took you.
It was called Pearl Dragon at the time.
Oh, okay, okay, cool, cool, cool.
So this is probably a good segue to play with one of my. New cats.
Dude, that okay, you know what? Let's do that. Can you hold on while we play it?
Yeah, yeah. Can I listen? Can I listen in?
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm not sure if it'll
come. I'm not able to stream it because I didn't download it on the computer, the real player. So.
Oh, I see. Okay, well, I'm going to just keep listening. I'm not sure if it'll play, but I hope it does. And if it
doesn't...
What
song are you going to play?
Let's see here. Let's see. Let me go to my... Hold on while you're here. Go to my email account, figure it out. Really, whichever one you'd rather me play.
Well, Mr. Washington is about, you know, the town, Seattle. It's about smoking a lot of weed. I'm not doing the marijuana maintenance right now, so hopefully, you know.
Yeah, what do you think? Know, but, what do you think about that, man? I mean,
yeah. it's interesting because, you know, like, again, being able to play shows, I got to play with, like, Kesha. I'm name dropping here, and I don't care. Cause I'm
dude, I love name dropping. I love name
What's
dropping.
What's up, Hollow Earth? Yeah. But we got to play a couple shows with Kesha a couple years ago on the Get Sleazy tour, and I was kind of conflicted because my music is generally pretty dirty, and there's 13-year-olds, 12-year-olds, you know,
isn't
full
she,
makeup.
Isn't
you know,
she dirty
like,
as hell, too?
Excuse me?
Isn't Kesha kind of dirty as well?
I wouldn't say that. I think she was a very sweet woman, and
I mean her music.
I would love to. As far as lyrics, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. You know, her songs are provocative, like mine are. So I feel that, but I was conflicted. Because, you know, because there's kids there, you know, and but I didn't change my music, you know, and that's what I have to understand too. I can't change my music unless I change myself or my message or my persona or the way I think, you know, and then I could be able to write different music. But, you know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying. I do. I feel the same way. Occasionally though, like when I'm performing, I'll, you know, one time I did, instead of dropping an F bomb, I said whatever, something else, but yeah.
Fudge!
Yeah, something like that. Dude, I'm going to play either Mr. Washington or Pearl, My Dear. I mean, I'm going to play them both on this show.
Play My Dear. My Dear is an interesting song, and I like this song a lot. My homeboy, The Vegan, made this. What's up?
The Vegan is his name? The Vegan?
Yeah, The Vegan.
And who's that?
He's a buddy of mine, you know, that I used to work at a shop called Peace of Mind in Seattle, and sold, you know, water pipes.
Is that in the U District?
Yeah, I used to work there.
Yeah, I've been there.
For a little bit, yeah. So, you know, I used to work there, and he would come in, and he was like, I'll make music, and we hooked up, and we'd record with him. But this one's about, My Dear is about, it's about two deers in love. It doesn't sound like it. It sounds like I'm talking just about a person. But okay. But it's about two deers in love. One deer gets shot, and the other deer is so disheartened and hurt that it runs in front of a truck to kill itself.
Jesus.
It's like Bambi on a, it's like, no, yeah, it's like a sad Bambi song, so.
Real quick, so we can leave this, rehab thing, what's your, I know you said you just worked a piece of mine, what's your opinion on marijuana, the legalization of it, and sobriety?
I totally approve of it. I don't do it myself, and I can't do it because I know what kind of
because that's not sobriety.
I am. Yeah, that's not sobriety, so. I don't do it, but I don't have any problem with it. I mean, I've smoked weed, marijuana for years.
Okay.
Like
okay.
A long, long time. So I don't have anything against it. You know, I just can't do it myself because I know how I am on it. You know, and I know what it makes me do. Just, you know, I just don't smoke one. I smoke three or five, and then I'm going to go drink some Jameson, and then I'm going to go really start kicking it. So
then that will allow me to really start kicking it. Yeah, got it.
Yeah, exactly. So I can't. But I don't, you know, especially since it's legal in Washington, it's legal in Colorado, and I've ran the gambit. I've worked at a shop.
Oh yeah, a head shop.
Not just a head shop, but I've worked at a, you know, where they, you know,
where they sell weed.
I worked in one of those. Yeah, where they sell weed. I worked in one
dispensary.
Of those.
Dispensary.
Dispensary. Yeah, that's the word. Worked at a dispensary before, and you know, I mean, you know, it is what it is. It's like I just can't do it because I know how it affects me, you know. Even though, you know, but I don't see anything wrong with it being legal and people doing it.
No,
you understand?
No,
if it works for you, it works for you.
No judgment.
It works for me. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. Well,
so
I'm gonna play my deer right now. Thank you for expounding upon the marijuana thing.
heck yeah, brother.
Okay, dude, my deer. Here we go. This is now.
Rasta life is a simple life. Ja Rastafari. No. Yes.
Is this Pearl Dragon? This is your solo stuff.
Yeah,
right?
This is Pearl Dragon. This is some stuff I just made up. But let me know what you think, you guys. You know, out there, Hollow Earth Radio, and everybody listening, I'd appreciate it if you gave me your honest opinion.
And I will tell you this: I'm going to air this as a podcast in like a week or two, so people get another chance to listen to all this again, and we can spread it around. Okay.
Okay. Cool. That'd be great. Thank you, man.
All right. Yeah, man. You're welcome. Here you go. I'm going to play that, man. Just bear with me. Stay on the line, okay?
Lust, I can trust my dear. You and I, just us, my dear. Pressing up for the touch, my dear. Losing you, almost crushed my ear. I couldn't run, I was flushed with fear. Too fond that a light got struck, my dear. Shot down, left standing there. My dear, well's dry, the end is near. All's well that ends well, my dear. Friends from here. I guess I'm gonna end it here. Get dope, get dope, get dope. Get dope, get dope, get dope. Get dope, get dope, get dope. Get dope, get dope, get dope.
And I can't tell. Is this heaven? Cause it hurts like hell. Constant chasing my tail. If I fall, I might fail. I think I can't do well.
It was lust, I can trust my dear. You and I, just us, my dear. Pressing up for the touch, my dear. Losing you, almost crushed my year. I couldn't run, I was flush with fear. Too fond of the light, got struck, my dear. Shot down, left standing there. My dear, well's dry, the end is near. All's well that ends well, my dear. Friends from here, I guess I'm gonna end it here.
Pearl?
Yes, sir.
Could you hear that?
Yeah, I can hear that. Yeah, I can hear
that. Dude, I thought that sounded great.
Thank you, man. It's a demo. You know, it's just ideas that I've been working on. You know, I just, even though I'm not trying to perform right now, I feel like it's still okay. It's still important for me to still write and like create ideas, what's in my head, because otherwise I'd be an insane man. More of an insane man, so, you know.
I feel like the production on that was really, really good. The guy, DeVegan, you said? Is that who did that?
Yeah, and then Funk Daddy engineered it. A Seattle legend, Funk Daddy, did E-40 and Mac Dre Records. He recorded it, but DeVegan made it.
Man, your vocals sounded so crisp and so out front. I know you said it was a demo, but to me, it sounded pretty legit, man.
Thank you, my friend. You know, just working on these demo tracks and just enjoying, you know, trying to enjoy making music, you know? I don't want to ever lose that feeling.
How long ago did you make that?
Man, I honestly made that, has to be like 5 months ago before I left.
So that's pretty recently, actually.
Yeah, 4 or 5 months ago before I left to California to get it together.
Okay, so you've been in Cali, you may have gone over this, but how long have you been down there?
I've been here about 3 months. 3 months. A little bit more.
Dude, but, how great is that? You get to have this, like, great band.
January 14th is when I got here.
You get to have this great band in Seattle waiting for you, and now you're kicking it in Silver Lake. Man, that sounds like a life to
me. Yeah, I'm really blessed. I'm in the Hollywood Hills right now. It's like I am extremely blessed, and the light has shined upon me. You know, it's like, man, I am blessed, bro. For real.
Yes, like, yes, you are. Yes, you are.
I get to see all of L.A. I overlook the whole stuff, and I'm extremely lucky and fortunate. You know, I'm fortunate to even Music Cares. You know, helping me to find the place I went to, which is Milestones.
Wait, Music Cares? What's that?
Music Cares is helps musicians. You know, like if they are in trouble, like with alcohol and drugs, kind of find a place to go. And they found that place for me in Malibu, and I'm really extremely lucky, you know, that I found that place. They found that place, and Music Cares, you know, helped me to be there at the time, and you know, helped me put me in treatment, you know, where I needed to be.
Yeah. So no, I feel you. Now you're in you obviously are hanging out in Silver Lake, which is like the place to be as far as like. Younger people in music and culture, I think, in L.A. How does that differ from Capitol Hill, man? I would consider Silver Lake a little bit like the Capitol Hill of Hollywood. It's like East Hollywood in L.A.
Yeah.
What's the vibe like, and how would you say, what's striking about that compared to, like, Seattle's really, like, cool place, like the Hill?
You know, I was a resident of the Hill for years. I repped that Hill for years. Pike and Pine. So I mean, it's all culture. It's all music culture. It's all people that like bands. You know, it doesn't have to be hipster or hip or any particular term you want to put on it.
But yeah,
it's,
yeah.
It's, you know, young people that are, you know, in the world, doing what they want to do, being progressive, being interesting, being, you know,
like energetic and ambitious. Yeah,
energetic and ambitious. Getting it for themselves, or just getting it, or just living. Enjoying their youth or not enjoying it, you know. You know, it's just people, you know, just living. So it's you know, everywhere is different, but everywhere is the same.
I agree, but like
the people are different. No, the people are different, but the energy is similar for sure.
And is there any glaring differences there, though, or
you know, the sun?
That's about it. Okay, cool.
The sun, you know, it's not overcast right now. Well, actually, you know, the funny thing is, it is overcast right now in LA.
Is it?
It's very overcast right now.
But is that just smog or what?
Kind of funny. But yeah.
Okay. You know? Okay.
But the weather's been beautiful. You know, I'm really, I'm getting tan out here.
No shit.
So. yes.
Do you have an issue? Do you have an issue with the sun, Pearl? Does it bother you being?
You know, I didn't
Seattle
like the sun.
So
I did not want to come to California. I was not trying to. I was trying to go somewhere in Oregon. You know, and. You know, it just happened to for me to be here at this time, you know, and it's, you know, I had to let go and let life happen and release, you know, my power to it, I guess, and just let it happen. And it was the best thing that could have happened, you know.
Sounds like you're in a great place, man.
I'm a lot calmer. I my anxiety has went down. I don't think everybody's out to get me. So that's good, you know.
So what you're telling me is when you think people are out to get you, it's not necessarily true?
You know, sometimes it could be. I mean, you know, in my case, you know, I think I was just partying. So, you know, but to each their own, you know. It's like I just know in my case I had a little bit of little stuff going on, so.
What's on the future, Pearl? What's in the future? What's on the horizon the next 6 months or so, man? For you, for your for Pearl Dragon, for Champagne and whatnot?
You know, I have no plans, man, except to kind of do my get well job and just work and just enjoy California, enjoy going back to visit Seattle to hang out with my boy, my son, and doing regular stuff at this point. You know, I really don't have any immediate plans except to do this thing one day at a time.
You have a son in Seattle. That's great.
Yeah, my boy's there. So I just went back last week and went to my uncle's funeral, and that was really a good thing. And it's just, you know, I'm just trying to be honest. I mean, I was honest for the first time with him and said, hey, I wasn't on tour, son. I was here doing this. you know, and that's, I mean, that's just a big step for me. I mean, even being honest on your show is a big deal.
How old is he?
Keikoa's 10. You know, the funny thing is, Macklemore called him on his birthday. I texted Macklemore, and he called him. And he was so pumped. All his friends were around. He's like, oh, God. So that was really nice of Ben to do that.
So what's your opinion?
He's in France right now.
That's awesome. I mean, Macklemore, you know, I love those two singles. I actually do. I was kind of like, for whatever reason, heard this or that and the other. But when I actually heard them, I was like, they're pretty damn catchy. But I didn't know his previous work. But I'd known, like, I would see that dude around town. I was like, what the fuck? He's selling out WAMU Theater, 7 nights at the Showbox. Who the fuck is this guy? And
he's been around for years. I remember writing with him with my homeboy Rajni Eddins, who did the Poetry Experience, and we were young guys, like six, you know, young dudes, you know, like. In our later teens, you know, and he just was always a talent, you know, and he just kept at it like a lot of us still do, you know. There's a lot of people in Seattle that stay at it that are really talented, like cats like Germ or, you know, A-Sun, Rajni. There's so many, you know, Silent Lambs Project, you know. There's so many great, so much great Seattle hip hop that I was raised on. Going to the Sit and Spin, going to the Old Veer downtown. Just being able to see hip hop shows and being able to take advantage of the scene, you know, learning it, delving into it, you know, I was so fortunate, you know, having great mentors like Funk Daddy, Greg Bieran, who did E-40 Records. You know, Seattle's a very nurturing scene if you let it be to you. And I'm glad I allowed it to nurture me and build me into the person I am. I built a persona, but now I'm getting back to, you know, to me now. But without the help of all those people, and watching all those people, you know, come up and make music and be inspired by them, who knows what I'd be doing, you know? I wouldn't be making music.
Let me ask you something. That's a really good point. You bring up some of those names that I'd never actually heard of. Why don't you tell people listening, because you got their ears now, I think, you know, what smaller acts that are playing now that are definitely worth, as far as hip-hop goes, definitely worth checking out?
From Seattle, Kung Fu Grip is an amazing young band.
Okay.
I think they're really talented young men. Kind of, there's so many, oh man, you put me on the spot. There's so many good, shit. So many good bands.
Come on, man. We're waiting.
I like Dead Kill. I like that punk shit. I like Dead Kill. They're amazing.
Okay. Dead Kill, Kung Fu Grip. Nice. Okay.
And Dead Kill, good punk band from Seattle.
Oh, Dead Kill. Okay.
Yeah, they're amazing. La Molo is good, you know.
Oh, La Molo, yeah.
Really pretty sounding music, good duo. So it's just not just hip-hop. There is hip-hop, and I rep it fully because I do hip-hop, but also love and I'm a fan of Seattle music. So, I would just hope that people would... Brother from Another. There's so many good bands, you know. So many good bands. So I would just urge you, if I don't suggest anybody that you, you know, if I can't right now, please just do your research. I'll post something on my Facebook tonight, Pearl Nelson on Facebook. And,
okay.
And I'll post some young bands when I get back around 11 or 12, so in the morning maybe.
That's
or maybe tomorrow.
That's great.
But yeah, check me out on Facebook, Pearl Nelson.
Yeah, speaking of that, for the next...
Definitely check out Champagne.
Okay.
You know, Google it. Check out our videos.
So that's what you would say as far as promotion goes. Pearl Nelson
on
Facebook.
I'll post, I'm posting bands. I'll write down a list of bands that I really enjoy. Maybe post some videos.
Okay.
Of young upcoming acts from Seattle, because there's a lot, you know.
Dude, tell everybody... Sorry, go ahead.
And, you know, and we're fortunate enough to have, you know, artists from our city that are really, really being progressive and really getting... putting the scene out there, so it's going to afford others the opportunity to put their music out there as long as they stay consistent and stay, you know, stay ready and stay focused. Now's the time, you know, get focused for yourself, because, you know, who knows how long the run will last, you know. But also you got to remember that it's a marathon, not a sprint, so it's about who stays in the race the longest, you know.
Tortoise and the hare scenario.
Huh?
Tortoise and the hare scenario, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
So promote. So where can we find you? Is that about it? Is that the
Pearl Nelson on Facebook. Nelson. Yeah, Champagne. You know, it's really, you know, I'm around. I'm not hard to find.
Just Google it.
So, yeah, just Google it, you know. And definitely check out Champagne. You know, it's we've definitely been pushing the boundaries of music for a long time as far as Seattle hip hop. I mean,
what's on the horizon for those guys?
For us, you know, we're taking a, you know, I'm taking a break, and we're taking a break right now just to, so I can focus on my sobriety, which is, I guess, but it is the most important thing to me right now. That I can, you know, do this thing, but do it sober. And I need some more time under my belt and have to gain more tools to be able to do it and do it right this time, you know, and be able to remember some stuff when I do it, you know. I can always remember my lyrics, but I don't remember events. So I want to be able to remember this time.
Now, you were saying that you often got intoxicated, drunk, or whatever before you'd perform. Did the same go for when, like that Four Horsemen track was really great. Now, did you have to get a little buzz to get that going in the studio, or was that a different animal altogether?
I was, you know, I can usually, sometimes, you know, when I worked with Funk Daddy when I was younger, he didn't allow me to drink or come into the studio, you know, high or anything. So I didn't have to do that, but as time grew, you know, I just did that, you know. It's not...
Oh, right.
Wasn't that
right.
You know? I just did that. That's what I did. I was perma stoned. I was perma drunk, and perma high. You know, it's just something that became second nature to me. You know, in all things that I did, and not all the time. I'm not saying I did all that stuff all the time, but there were times when I felt like I needed to do certain things to do certain things.
Yeah. You know, Pearl. I think that's a really good jumping off point. I want you to. You know, maybe not promise, but if you come back in Seattle on a Tuesday, dude, I would love for you to actually come in the studio and maybe bring some tunes, and we could talk in person, yeah. And you could spin some
man,
shit.
Oh, man, I'll freestyle. I'll be like, my name is Pearl, and I'm here to say I'm on high old earth yesterday. Oh, yeah.
Dude,
so,
that was mind-blowing right there, man.
Thank you. It was all freestyle off the top.
Yeah,
so.
I'm going to play Mr. Washington now, and I want to thank
you. Oh, this is a cool cut.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about it.
Perry Como. You remember Perry Como? He had this old show.
Perry?
There's an old show. The bluest skies you ever seen Seattle.
Vaguely.
You know, it's a very classic old song from the 60s, and I just decided, I've heard this sample, and I was like, man, I got to use it. And I didn't use it for years. And then I just had a... My homeboy the Vegan, Chop It Up, and then it became this. And this is on the Cafe Vita Give Project, 2003.
Okay.
So you can get it there, you know, they're in stores. So if you go to Cafe Vita, be like, I want the Give Project, you can get that song there. And you can get a whole bunch of other songs, and it helps. And Vita donates a lot of money to a lot of causes, so it's good to pick it up. It's going to help a lot of people and, you know, to be supportive, you know. Support music.
Yeah.
If you don't do anything else,
support
take
music.
Care of yourself.
Yeah, take care of yourself. There you go. There you go.
Support music.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Pearl. Listen, man, it's been a real pleasure talking to you, man. I'm really glad we could hook this up. I mean,
people
may or may not know this, but like this came to fruition at about 10:30 last night.
Yeah. See the magic of the internet.
Yeah, absolutely. The magic of instant messaging on Facebook. So.
Yes. Yes.
Hey, buddy, take care of yourself, man. And
hey, I'll stay on the line just to hear the song.
Yeah.
I just want to hear it on the radio.
I'll put it on right here, absolutely.
Heck yeah. Well, thanks, guys. I appreciate everybody, all my friends and family and, you know, homies that listened in today and checked out Hollow Earth Radio. Continue to listen in. Continue to support music. Continue to support yourself.
Right, and I will let you know when this turns into a podcast, and we'll go from there. All right.
Are you going to play the whole thing? Because I was talking for hella.
The whole song?
No, you're going to play the whole interview.
I'm going to play the whole thing, dude. Absolutely.
Oh, snap. Awesome. Yeah. Well, hi, everybody out there. I appreciate you, and I have major love for everybody out there listening. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Pearl, man. Talk later, bro.
All right, brother.
See ya.
And I they can't help they self. I run this city, they call me Chief Self. Blunt rap so good, I can't help myself. Rap so good, I can't help myself. I can only test myself. Hey, look, let me bless myself. Hey, people eating, I'ma help myself. I need the town, I couldn't done it myself. Walk the walk, heart beat the beat. Speak the heat so I can keep the street. Learn so much, I can teach the teach. Few go hard, but they still not me. No way. Smoke one with your boy. Smoke one with your girl. Smoke two for the team. And one more for the world. Let's go. To the town, purple raining down, let it rain in your parade, look who raining now. Mouth in front of South End, came to game you down. Look who's acting janky now, can you thank me now? Black Jesus on the cross, you can hate me now. Headhunters in the century that'll hunt you down. Without a sound, so holler now, pop collar now. Smoking white owls and whites in a wildin' out. An east side girl with a freak about. Three different girls and they all eating out. We got shit to speak about. Cause when I'm in the streets, all the kids geeking out. Going to Bill Gates route, Evergreen State, so pull your green out.